We are in the latter part of the book of Acts, and last week we began talking about the whole concept of feeling the presence of God in our lives, and especially feeling His presence when we're in difficult situations, problem situations, and so forth. And what we're doing is looking at Paul and some of the things that he was going through, things that were happening with him in his ministry, and helping us to be able to see how he relied on the presence of God in the midst of all those events that were taking place, and what that did for him. So we talked about the warnings that Paul received from various people, and that what was going to happen if he arrived in Jerusalem, or if he went to Jerusalem, even those who were trying to discourage him from going there because of what was in store for him. And then we talked about that how he arriving in just some different situations where the crowd got all agitated. He arrived in Jerusalem, and there were some Jews from the province of Asia that came and started stirring up the crowds against him, and got so bad that the Roman officials had to come and rescue him from the crowds because they wanted to kill him. And so they basically arrested him and got him out of there. So in Acts chapter 23... we see Paul before the Sanhedrin and trying to get them to understand, you know, the proper teachings and so forth. But then beginning in verse 12, in that section, verse 12 and following, what we see here is there's a plot that is uncovered by some that to kill Paul. They want to get rid of him completely. And so this plot is uncovered, and again, the Romans end up having to save him from that situation, okay? So they end up taking him, getting him out of there, all right? And Paul basically, I don't have a note here on it, but he's transferred out of that area with a detachment of soldiers. And so the next question, this is at the bottom of the first page of our study. We've been looking at all these different things that Paul was going through at this point, up to the crowds and so forth, trying to get rid of him. The last question here on that page that I want us to focus on for a moment is, as we seek to share Christ with others and live in the presence of God, might persecution and ridicule come our way, even from our own people? And the reference here is to 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 3, rather, in verse 12. Can I get somebody to go there and read that for us, please? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. What should we expect as Christians?
In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Okay. You know, that makes it pretty matter of fact, doesn't it? It doesn't say might be. Okay? It says will be. Okay? And so how does that fit into two things? Number one, our living out our faith, okay, in view of persecution. And number two, in the midst of that, actually feeling the presence of God. Okay? So let's talk about those two things here for a moment. Any thoughts or ideas on that? Okay?
In the presence of persecution, when you have done His will, there is a power you feel.
Okay? I think you do.
I was thinking of how this pandemic got people so upset that they would be more willing to listen. And I think the neighbors, when we're walking the neighborhood, are more receptive to our have a nice day and God bless you and keep you safe and well and that sort of thing. But if we go any deeper than that, that's when people start to change the subject real quick. You know, how's the garden? How's the weather? How's this? They're not persecuting us, but they're not attaching themselves to go any deeper. And then with family members, you try to get them to, you know, get back to the Lord. You know, you never know when our tomorrow will end. Then they just kind of, you know, don't say anything. They just kind of make us feel like we're wasting our breath.
Okay.
So that's scary. But feeling God's presence, you know, it's even stronger, and I feel like time is running out, and I'm just more and more inclined, and I feel the Lord's with us to do that. I feel more emboldened, I guess, just to speak up. Before, I was taking it easy, and then one little germ blows the whole world, you know, and that's just like God to do something incredible like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is it, girl. You said you wanted to be a servant of mine. You better get out there and show me.
Okay.
So I'm feeling that in that way, the Holy Spirit's empowering me to do and say more, and that I try to include scripture or think of a scripture that goes with this particular situation that I'm in.
Okay.
Because I want to be with Him. I don't care what the neighbors say.
Okay. All right. Wes? Stephen.
Stephen.
Right.
Stephen being stoned, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those two examples, regardless of what was happening, you were still steadfast.
Okay.
The purpose of what you were doing. The same holds true for us as Christians, regardless of what we go through. If we are in the presence of God, and we stand fast in what we are believing in. If you do not hold high, then committed run up against opposition, and you ready to cut ties and run. You know, a lot of the disciples of Christ felt like they were sincere, but when they said the rebel met the road, they dispersed and left because of fear of their own life. But when you're willing to die for your cause, then you, in our case, we can say we feel the presence of God because that's what's still motivating us, is God. Right. We know that. But for the cause of whatever you're feeling, then, you know, that's your strength.
Okay.
That's what you're depending on.
All right. Let me ask, I'm sorry, Brian, go ahead.
You know, when we suffer, we share the suffering that Christ went through.
Right. Let me ask you this. How many of you, when you were taught about Christianity, somebody, whoever studied with you, taught you the things that they taught you for you to be a Christian. What did they teach you? You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to confess, right? And you got to be baptized. We emphasize that a lot. And of course, then you have to obey, right? You got to live in obedience. Those are generally the things that we teach people when we're trying to help someone become a Christian, right? But how many of you, when you were taught and first became a Christian, how many of you were taught to expect to be persecuted as a Christian? Anybody?
Not right away, but it came eventually.
Yeah, but not at the beginning, were you?
No.
Yeah, me either. Okay. But yet, when Jesus was gathering disciples, and we've talked about this many times before, what was his promotional sign? The cross, okay? You know, and as we've mentioned many times before, everybody in Jesus' day knew what the cross stood for. Okay? Wasn't any question or doubt in anybody's mind. And the concept that people have today of a cross is totally, at the very least, it is watered down, okay? And because people get the idea of carrying their cross, where Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you just take up your cross daily and follow me, right? And so people tend to look at that idea today of taking up our cross as that I have to bear some difficulty or hardship in my life, okay? And people will say it in terms of, well, this is my cross that I have to bear. Whether they're talking about putting up with some difficult person in their family or their life or their job or whatever, or some other difficulty that they have, and they term that as, this is my cross I have to bear, okay? Which was never the concept of the cross that Jesus taught. But understand, my point is that Jesus, at the very beginning, okay, he let people know right up front, if you want to follow me, what you have in store for you is a cross, okay? And that means death, all right? And so what Paul is writing here to Timothy about us being persecuted, that's something that, you know, he obviously wanted Timothy to be telling people then. Look, if you're gonna choose this way of life, you need to expect to be persecuted. But most Christians today, would it be right to say that most Christians today will do anything and everything that we can to keep from being persecuted? We'll avoid it. As we've talked about many times in here, you know, there are certain people we don't want to talk to about the Bible because, you know, they may not talk to us anymore. They'll quit being my friend. I might lose my job. I might, you know, whatever the case may be. They might make fun of me. Or what have you, so we don't. And yet Jesus, from the very beginning, made it clear, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to expect persecution. And Paul reinforces that here to let us know, and of course he lived that out in his life, okay, that if you want to follow Jesus, then you need to expect to be persecuted. Not try to avoid it, but expect to be persecuted. Okay? And so how does that change the dynamic of how we live out our faith and try to share it with other people? And how does it help us in terms of that presence, feeling that presence of God? All right? Chuck, you had your hand up a moment ago, and then Wesley. Okay. All right. Okay, Wesley.
What I was going to say, wanted to make a comment about was, as you were saying, that last step in the steps of salvation, as we tell people, and as we probably taught ourselves, that you live a godly life, and we don't look at living a godly life as being persecuted.
Right.
We think of living a godly life as, you go out and you preach the gospel and you tell people the Bible.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to suffer because Christ already suffered for us. So
right.
We're not supposed to suffer.
Yeah. In fact, there are a lot of preachers today, some of these, you know, popular evangelists, that are telling people just the opposite of that, aren't they? They're telling people if you will accept Christ in your life, then you won't have any more problems and you won't face these problems and God's going to protect you and you're going to live a happy, wealthy life. That's what they're telling people. You see? But they don't share something like this. Okay? Because if they did, likely what would be the result? Same result that Jesus found, okay? That some who would be disciples would turn and stop following him because, nah, don't want that. See, we're okay with the wealth and the health and all the good things that these folks are promising, but wait a minute, you're telling me that if I believe and I live a godly life, he says, in Christ, then I'm going to be persecuted? No, thank you. Brian?
Everything they're saying is actually true. They're just taking it out of context.
Yeah.
Because the suffering, we are able to have joy
mm-hmm.
and health and all the great things, knowing that the victory is already won. They just take it out of context.
Yeah. Exactly right. Kathy?
And like Peter, when Jesus asked that question, he said, where could we go? Mm-hmm. Where will we find the peace, the comfort, a family yeah. of God that can help me through whatever persecution I'm going through?
Yeah.
Nobody out there has it.
Right.
And you know they're getting it. They're caught up. This whole thing is God's fault.
Yep.
You know?
Okay. Chuck?
They're preaching against the gospel. I mean, that's... What did our Savior tell us? That in this life you will have trouble. In this life you will be persecuted.
Right.
You know, it's like Kevin said, we didn't know it at first, but we came to know. We came to know what was going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful because how many people hear that false gospel? Then they come into, maybe it is persecution, because they had joy and they tried mm-hmm. to share. And because people don't want to hear that. A lot of people don't want to hear that even if you tell them. Like,
yeah.
You can be rich and wise, and, you know, worldly wise and such. But they fall away because they get discouraged.
Yeah, because they're not expecting it.
They're not expecting it. And,
yeah.
and I, in this church family, I have, and in God's word, I have, been told this and forewarned so that I wouldn't get discouraged. And
right.
That's why he did it.
Exactly.
He didn't want them to be surprised.
Yeah. And that's what it is. There's a lot of people that are accepting that doctrine of health and wealth and, you know, and all those kind of things. When they do have problems, they're going, well, wait a minute. I didn't think I was supposed to have this. This wasn't supposed to happen. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Jesus is supposed to spare me from all this stuff. And so what do? They fall away. Chuck, I'll get you this time while you got it on your mind.
Yeah, I remember what it was previously, because you'd mentioned that for today's society, more often than not, too many people consider their problems bearing the cross when all they got is a pain in the neck.
Right.
You know, the thorn in the side, ailments.
Oh, he didn't. No, he told it like it was.
And that's what America and the world is lacking today, being straight up and honest and saying, look, if you want this, this is what you have to do, and this is what's going to cost you.
Right.
And yes, your life may be required. So people thinking like an EMS or even right now the frontline workers in our hospitals, you want to be a nurse? Okay, this is what's going to mm-hmm. go through the training. This is what's going to cost you. And yes, reality is you may lose your life in performing your duty.
Right.
And so so they're not the only ones. Of course, we know the police officers, the fire, soldiers, knowing that when they enlist, there's a pretty good chance you might get shot at.
Yeah.
Is it something we want? No. Is it something we train for?
Yes.
You bet. And so same for the Christian. That's why we have Bible classes.
Right.
We have this discussion so that we can, you know, give them the tools necessary to confront the evil that is out there.
Right.
Again, our battle is not with flesh. Again, it is with the evil
yeah.
spirit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so people having to understand that. What do you mean, evil? And understand, too, that what it's going to take to overcome that to be a Christian. And yes, Christ said himself, he is here, and he will divide families.
Right.
And that's a concept many people just blow their mind. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You don't love me first, completely, wholeheartedly, and your cross. You don't deserve it.
You're not worthy of me, he says, doesn't he?
Think of that. Think
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
Now, this is the Almighty, and that's something we've got to understand. He's the Almighty. He is who he is because he's been good to provide and to create,
mm-hmm.
and he is worthy of praise, worthy of our love and our life. And again, there's no one, flesh and blood, friend, whoever, to be in the way between you and the Almighty.
Yeah.
And again, that comes through learning from teaching. So saying that, yes,
right.
this is the truth, and yes, there are very few who find that path.
Yeah.
And let me digress, unfortunately, back to the cross. Again, it's far too many people have taken it out of context, again, to the point of where they literally go by a pendant, wear it on them, and say they met that obligation.
Right. Yeah. You know, in all those different occupations you mentioned, there's a concept that is really required if you're considering any of those types of jobs, and that is that you really need to count the cost. What am I facing? What's the risks here? You know, and so forth. And that's what Jesus tells us the same thing over and over again. What does he say? You got to count the cost. Because there is a high cost to being a follower of Jesus, and what are we willing to give up in order to follow him? And the answer needs to be everything. But unfortunately, too many people are not really taught that, and they really haven't come to that conviction to say, "Well, I'm not willing to lose my family." The number of people I've studied with over the years that said, I understand what you're saying. I know that it's right. But if I accept what you're telling me, then I'm saying that my mama or my grandmama or whoever is condemned because they didn't follow this or they, you know, this or what have you. And so they're willing to lose their own soul because they don't want to go against and so forth. And you think, to me, that's just irrational, I think. But that's what we have, you know. And so it's a matter of, you know, counting the cost and realizing. And again, it's looking at and understanding what the cross is all about. And here Paul to Timothy is saying, you know, this is about, you know, persecuting. If you're going to live this lifestyle, then you need to expect to be persecuted. And to expect otherwise is unreasonable. And that's how we have to look at it, you see. For us to expect to live a Christian life and not be persecuted is unreasonable. Now, the problem with that is that, especially here in America, it's not true throughout the world, okay? But especially here in America over the last, you know, century or so, that being a Christian was relatively safe, okay? There are people that weren't interested in Christianity, just kind of that was their thing, and they leave everybody else alone. And so for a long time, Christians, and I just use that term very broadly, okay, in America have grown up and lived relatively unscathed. While folks across the rest of the world have been persecuted, put to death because of Christianity, that's gone on, you know, the whole time, we in America have not experienced that. And so one of the things that's happening right now, because things have changed so dramatically over the last, I'll say, you know, 10 to 15 years, where there has been a real obvious shift on the part of many away from God and godly things and so forth, that it is becoming more and more blatant and outright, where if you stand up for Christ, then you're going to face opposition to that. I mean, I can remember back when I was first got into the church and we're doing door knocking, and the concern that most people had with going out and doing door knocking was they were afraid somebody would slam the door in their face. Okay? And it's like, okay, if they do, you just move on to the next door, okay? No big deal. Don't worry about it. But people were afraid that, and to them, that was persecution, okay? Whereas today, we have people losing their livelihoods and so forth because of their standing for Christ. And that is going to get worse, okay? And so, you know, while we have experienced this relative safety of Christianity here in America, you know, for most of all of our lives, you know, at least, that's coming to an end. Okay? And I think that part of the problem that we're going to see is that as it happens more and more, there's going to be this shock amongst a lot of Christians who are going to experience that, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not what I signed up for. When the reality is, if you signed up to be a Christian, then that's exactly what you signed up for. Okay? You know, to me, it's kind of like, you know, we had all these folks that had signed up in the military, you know, and National Guard and all that kind of stuff back, you know, when we didn't have any wars going on, and then all of a sudden we got into the Gulf War, and you have people going, oh, no way, well, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up so I could get a free education and, you know, have a job and so forth. I didn't sign up to go to war, and so they wanted to bolt. You know, well, you know what? Yes, you did. That's what you signed up for, okay? Just because we weren't at war when you signed up doesn't mean you need to be prepared for it. And that's exactly what this is. We signed up to go to war, okay, as soldiers of Christ. And just because there wasn't a war going on, it hadn't been, you know, in that sense, from people. There's always been a war from Satan, by the way, okay? But just because people haven't been, you know, trying to get rid of us, blatantly and outright, that doesn't mean there hadn't been a war, and hey, that's what we signed up for. Are we going to stand true? All right? I saw a couple of hands go up here. I don't remember whose all were going up. Chuck, and then Chuck, and Brian, did you have your hand up a moment? Okay, I thought I saw yours go up. Maybe you're swatting flies back there. Go ahead, Chuck. Oh, yeah.
There's espionage. There's lying. There's a lot of things going on where the uninitiated would just not even put on a radar. But those who have been trained kind of like have a second. Mm-hmm. Their eyes are always looking. They're listening. Because if you hear a noise in the bush that wasn't supposed to be there, it wasn't supposed to be there. Go investigate it.
Right.
So things in our Christian lives should be the very same thing. Mm-hmm. That the enemy may be coming in and telling you little white lies, mm-hmm. or putting something in front of you so that you may participate in something that's not really Christian orientated because you didn't take the time to investigate and
right.
find out now you're a party to what? You know? And so again, we need to be understanding
mm-hmm.
that be on guard.
Have situational awareness is what we call it. Right, Brian?
That's right.
Yeah. Chuck?
It's just, you know, people can listen to what you're saying, Russ, and say, man, you're blowing it out of proportion, man. You got a tinfoil hat on, this, that, the other. Look at the church's caving.
Yeah.
Look at the church's giving up the truth.
Yep.
That's from persecution. And more churches turning and giving in to the
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're turning.
Yeah.
They're turning.
And those things have to do primarily right now with what we oftentimes refer to as social issues. You know, the acceptance of homosexuality and you know, just widespread in churches, you know, all across the country. I read an article, in fact, this morning that, you know, I probably everybody here is aware that there's a runoff race that's going on in Georgia, you know, for the Senate, you know, race and so forth. And one of the Democratic candidates for the Senate race is a minister, okay? And the article this morning was, I think it was 25 different ministers from all around Georgia wrote a letter to him asking him to reconsider his position on abortion because he is pro-abortion, okay? And so all these various ministers, and these apparently were ministers, you know, from some Republicans, some Democrats, some independents, they all signed this letter saying, hey, this is biblically wrong, and we can't support this, you say. But and my point here is that not that he's a Democrat, but just that he's a minister, okay, and yet he is pro-abortion, pro-choice. And you think, how can that be? And it's because, Chuck, you said, you know, we're just accepting more and more and more of the things that the world is accepting instead of standing up to the truth of those things. Right? Chuck?
Because if they do stand up, that movement is becoming more and more powerful.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're not.
Because they don't, persecute. Yeah.
That's how strong the persecution is. Yeah. You know, it's there.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's going to get worse. And as the churches turn, it's going to get worse. We will be the minority, a small minority of the truth.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And by the way, this is I won't charge you anything extra for this. Okay. This is my. What do you call this? A notice about Hallmark Channel. Okay? The Hallmark Channel, who you could always, you know, rely on as being, you know, strong for families and so on. The Hallmark Channel has come out and made it official that they are now, they have programming that emphasizes, you know, they have all these movies, these love movies, you know, and so forth. And they have programming where their main characters are gay characters. Okay, that's the Hallmark Channel. So I'm just throwing that out there for your information. That again, it's an example of caving to the pressure. How do we respond to that? Well, you know, with Cindy and I, we've decided, because we used to watch Hallmark Channel all the time. A lot of good programming on that said, not anymore. Not anymore. I'll make my own cards before I buy another Hallmark card. You know. Okay, Chuck, and then Chuck again.
Again, as Christians, we do have a responsibility for all of our actions.
Yeah.
And again, part of that, and again, this one probably has most significant, if you can't affect as a person, you vote with your dollar.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, if you are made aware of what a company is about,
right?
And you know that it is contrary to God's word, and you support them. Think about that.
Yeah.
You're an accessory, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Even when God is concerned. Now.
Yeah.
Knowing what you do know, and like as you stated, and as we do as well. We do not support companies like that.
Yeah.
We will not purchase anything from them.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The problem is that just as churches are doing, companies are even worse, or they are folding to the pressure, especially when it comes to the gay community, and more are just, you know, giving in because they don't want to be trashed and so forth. But there are some companies that, you know, there's a lot of companies that are just kind of, yeah, you know, they have policies to, you know, not speak out against gays or whatever the case may be. But there are others that are outright blatantly supporting the agenda and so forth. And again, that's one reason I've mentioned this before, why we will not shop at Target. Because Target is one of those that just blatantly, you know, I don't want my wife to be in the dressing room and have some guy walk in there because Target doesn't have the guts to stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow that to go on. But they don't just stand by and allow it. They encourage it. And so those are the kind of things that, yes, we're aware of those things. I encourage people, you know, you need to be aware, and you're right. You do support them with your dollars. They're not getting any of mine. You know, Chuck, you had a comment?
Just that Jesus said that during his persecution, people will think that they're doing God's work.
Right.
And so when these churches, when they turn in these churches, the Catholic churches, all these churches, the persecution is going to pick up.
Yeah.
When they turn, then they're going to be thinking that they're on God's side
right.
by going against the gospel. And the only way that this is happening, or a big part of it, is because people don't know God's word.
Yeah. Well, I think that some know it, but they don't want to stand up against the pressure. I mean, the Pope came out, about 2 or 3 weeks ago and, you know, basically signed on to supporting homosexuals. You know, and so, you know, that's a huge chunk of, again, the broad term of Christianity that folks going, oh, okay, well, I guess it's all right now. And so that number that oppose it are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But that's okay as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, what did Jesus say? Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the road and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, but small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. So I don't mind being on the narrow road, you know, being in a minority of folks. In fact, you know, Jesus tells us that's where we need to be. But it really does. We've got to know the truth, but we've got to also stand by the truth. And if we can know it, but if we're not willing to stand by it, then what good is it? See? Okay, we got just a couple more minutes here before we run out of time. If you look at the next page over, number 2 here, in the presence of God, Paul was tried before rulers. And this is Acts 24 to 26, where we see Paul being taken before various rulers. He has had the opportunity to talk to various folks, but he has appealed to Caesar, okay, for a ruling on his status. So in the first one on there are 3 different rulers that is mentioned that he goes before. Are who? Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. Okay? And the next question here, if you go through and you read the various narratives of what happens, it says, did they find anything in Paul worthy of death?
No.
Not a thing. In fact, it tells us in Acts 24, verse 26, Felix tried for 2 years. Okay? He basically, the idea here is that he was basically baiting him. For 2 years, trying to get him to say something, do something that was going to be wrong so that he'd have cause to put him to death, but never could. Okay? So then the next question we answered just a moment ago, why was Paul not set free by any of those rulers, by those 3? Because he appealed to Caesar. And so, to Caesar you shall go. All right? And sent him off there. Okay? All right, next week we're going to try to finish up this lesson, number 10 here. We're talking about Paul was delivered from shipwreck. And if we can, just to get through the back of it, Paul was brought safely to Rome. All right, so that's what we'll try to cover next week in here. All right, thank you guys very much.